We'll turn tonight to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 27. Matthew 27, and we'll read verses 1 through 4. Matthew 27, 1, when the morning was come, all the chief priests and elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. And when they had bound him, they led him away and delivered him to Pontius Pilate, the governor. Then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, I have sinned in that I have betrayed the innocent blood. And they said, what is that to us? See thou to that. I have betrayed the innocent blood. Innocent is a word that means cannot harm or will do no harm or is not guilty. And it's interesting looking at the way that Jesus was vilified in his community at a time when he was at the height of reaching out and sharing the gospel message, touching and healing people, that here he was condemned and then went to a cross for no guilt, for no crime, for no, well, anything that he had done. We have laws today that are meant to protect the innocent. There's laws that protect us from unsafe work environments. There's laws that protect us from fraud. There's laws that are meant to protect children. They're meant to protect the innocent. In fact, really the only reason we have laws is to protect the innocent from those that would perpetrate a crime. God has a law as well, and this goes back to the law of Moses, that to shed innocent blood was a severe crime. So severe that your life was required if you shed innocent blood maliciously. So we know of a couple of examples of this in God's word. I noted, and maybe you did too, that in the account of Jesus' birth, that Herod was wroth, it says, and Herod destroyed, annihilated, children of 2 years age and under. And we have a tendency to think of that it was just in Bethlehem, but it says throughout all the coasts. It's horrible. It's tragic. Well, the thing I noticed is that Herod didn't live long after that. See, God doesn't abide the slaying of the innocent. We read in Pharaoh's time that he oppressed the Israelites, that he perpetrated crimes upon them, that before that his father had even set about to kill innocent children as well. And we read of the plagues and things that happened. Jesus came to bring help and to bring healing. In Matthew 11, verses 4 through 6, John's disciples had come. John the Baptist's disciples had come to him and asked him a question. Matthew 11, 4, Jesus answered and said unto them, go and show John again those things which ye do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk, and the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. There's no guilt. You know, it's interesting. If we were to read about Jesus in some other context historically, we might think that he had ulterior motives. Because the reality is that really you look deep into the past of any political leader, any religious leader, anybody that's come along for a while, if they weren't saved, they're corrupt. And it's a tragic circumstance. Jesus set himself apart as not just he wasn't even a religious zealot. The thing that sets him apart from other historical figures is that he didn't come bringing some kind of social justice program or social change or some way to change the government. He came for spiritual reform. He came to bring a reform for each one of us in our spirits. And I got to wonder what Pilate was thinking. You know, I'd love to sit down and talk with Pilate for a minute. Just to talk to him about, you know, why would you go through with that? You knew he was innocent. You knew there was nothing that you had there. Well, Jesus came and he was completely innocent and he fit that description. He brought no harm. He was completely innocent and he was not guilty. I wonder about the Passover, that first Passover, if maybe that's the reason that God chose a lamb as the sacrifice. You see, a lamb is, well, it's innocent. It's, you know, it's just this little thing there, and they're cute. And they, you know, they need protection and they need guidance and they need help. I mean, there's no harm that can come from a lamb. You'll never hear about some, you know, horrible lamb that ran amok and hurt people. So perhaps that's why God chose the lamb. But you know, the lamb in that setter, that the lamb in that first Passover had to be killed. The innocent had to be killed. So that death would be forestalled. So that death would be pushed off. Because if they didn't kill the lamb and put that blood out, then they were subject to the death angel. Judas knew that Jesus was innocent. In verse 4 of chapter 27 of Matthew, saying, I have sinned in that I have betrayed the innocent blood. You notice the Pharisees agreed with him. Nobody thought that Jesus was really guilty of anything other than being Jesus. But he knew, and you know, Judas did something right here. In this one example, we can follow Judas. Because Judas, it says here that he repented himself. He recognized that he had done something horribly wrong. And he cast off the things of this world represented by the silver. He cast off that and he was just beside himself. The end of Judas isn't something we want to emulate. But you know, we can follow the example of the Pharisees in this one example too. At the end of verse 4, it says, "See thou to that." Yeah, that Judas was guilty and Judas knew it and Judas had something to take care of. He needed to take care of that. You know, the Pharisees gave some good advice. See thou to that. We have to do the same thing. You know, I'm reminded of a song that basically the chorus talks about, you know, who nailed him there? Who nailed Jesus to the cross? This child of peace and mercy, this innocent lamb, who nailed him there? Come and face me like a man. It directs a challenge. Come and face me like a man. Who nailed him there? And it says, the crowd began to mock me and I cried, oh my God, I just don't understand. And then I turned and I saw the hammer in my hand. You see, we can get upset with the Pharisees. We can get upset with Judas. I do sometimes. I think, how could anybody do that? How could anybody take Jesus and put him on a cross? For convenience? For what? You know, but the reality is, just as Judas understood that he was guilty, every single one of us is guilty. Every single one of us, at one point, turned our back on God. The message here is the innocent died for the guilty. That's what Jesus came to do. You know, he did a lot of good things here on earth, and we look to those things and they're beautiful, but the culmination of Jesus' ministry was him spreading his arms on that cross. The culmination, the reason that Jesus came was so that he could die. You know, we've heard of horrible crimes perpetrated. I mentioned what Herod did to the children, what Pharaoh did to the children, and we think how horrible. You know, those children had no way to defend themselves. You know, one of the differences here in the innocence of Jesus is that Jesus had the power to take himself off of that cross. And that makes it even that much more personal to us, because he wasn't being perpetrated upon. He told Pilate as much. He said, "You have no power over me except it's given to you." Jesus willingly went to the cross. He suffered the shame and the agony. You know, it's really not too dramatic for us to really ponder that. Because the reality is, through life, you know, we have a tendency to forget what Jesus has done for us on a day-to-day basis. We have a tendency to get busy or whatever it is. Oh, you know, the scripture tells us when we come together for ordinance service that we should properly discern the Lord's body. You know, that's what the Lord has given us here tonight on Good Friday, to properly discern what Jesus did for us. In Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews 12 verse 2 says, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." If we go to the next verse, it says, "For considering him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds." You know, that let that be the power that drives you to serve the Lord. Let that be the power that drives you to your knees, that the innocent, the most innocent, the innocent died for the guilty, died for you and for me. Jesus is calling you tonight. Perhaps you've listened to this message, perhaps you've listened to this program, and you feel a stirring in your heart. Well, I can tell you, by the authority of the Word of God, that is God calling to you. That is God reaching out to you, because the purpose of the message tonight is to stir your heart, that you would recognize that you stand guilty before a holy God. Maybe you've never heard this message before. Well, you're in luck. There's a reason we call this Good Friday. Because Jesus paid the price for you. Jesus made it possible for you to have eternal life. Jesus paid your cost. And all you have to do is come to him in repentance. Just as Judas said, he repented himself. That's all you have to do, is come, recognize your guilt before God, and mean it when you say, "I'm sorry." You know, it seems like it should be so much more than that, right? The God of the universe sent his only son to die for us. It should be more complicated, but that's all it takes, is you just come with an honest heart and ask for forgiveness, and Jesus will do just that. And his blood will cover your sins. His blood, you will be forgiven in his eyes, and you will be able to live righteously before him, because it says that he will change you. Jesus will do that for you. Maybe you've been a little complacent in the last few months, or a little complacent over the last few years. Let this be the moment that you turn and you say, "Lord, I'm not going to be complacent anymore. Lord, I know what your death means to me, and I want others to hear about it too." Maybe you've just kind of languished. Maybe you've just kind of been going with the flow, and you haven't really been concentrating on following the Lord. The Lord wants tonight to be the night that you change that. The night that you reach out to him, God will give you the courage and the strength to do so. The altars of prayer are going to be open, and I'm so thankful we still have these altars. Because many lives have been changed right here at these altars of prayer. God will change your life wherever you are. Kneel before Him and God will make a change in your life.